Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome. Today is the pre-Christmas edition of The Blitz here on Blog Talk Radio. How's everybody doing? I hope everyone has had a great holiday weekend so far, and it has certainly been a crazy NFL weekend. Today, I am your host, Nkeshi Free, along with my co-host, Eric Brown. Unfortunately, our other co-host, Erica Lynn Anderson, is out sick today, so Eric and I will be holding it down together. But we thank you all so much for joining us today. We are going to have a great weekend. We're excited to talk football, and we're excited to really talk about all of the crazy games that we have seen this weekend. So, Eric, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
Right now, I cannot lie. You already know I'm living on cloud nine.
I can only imagine why.
So for those of you who don't know, I am Miss Diehard Dallas Cowboys fan, and right now the Dallas Cowboys have clinched the NFC East, and we have clinched the playoff berth for the first time in forever. And I am so excited. I'm ecstatic. I'm over the moon, jumping up and down for joy. I have changed all of my Facebook profile pictures, my profile covers. I am absolutely ecstatic and over the moon. So thank you very much to the Washington Redskins for beating the Eagles yesterday. I know.
Well,
so we've got a lot to get into.
Huh? Question, though. How did you get to be such a big Cowboy fan?
Oh, you're really going to make me tell this on the radio?
Yeah,
Eric,
let's talk
I thought
about
you
that,
loved me.
I mean,
okay.
You're not from Dallas, are you?
I'm not. I was actually born in Mississippi and military kid. And we moved here to the D.C. area when I was about 3 or 4. Actually, you know, of course, wasn't into any sports at that time. And then my dad took us to the Georgetown Hoya games. So I got, you know, introduced to sports through my dad. And Sunday football was, like, huge family time. And so 1 week... Oh, my God, this is so embarrassing. When I was in kindergarten, I was introduced to KISS, and all of the people in the group freaked me out except for Paul Stanley because he had a star in his face, so he was the least scary. And I thought, oh, my God, that's so cool. I'm going to be a rock star too. So I started drawing stars everywhere. That weekend, the Cowboys played the Redskins, and so here's a football team with a star on their helmet. And I thought, oh, it's magic. It's meant to be. This is my football team. They're stars too. So that's the logic of a five-year-old girl. However, my parents made the mistake of telling me, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just saying something. So the more I dug in, the more they tried to convince me. I wasn't a Cowboys fan until eventually my heart belonged 110% to the Dallas Cowboys. And I have literally been a Cowboys fan since I was 5 years old.
Okay, well, see, I can get with that. I mean, you know, coming from a five-year-old, I can see if it'd be something different if you were, you know, 35 or 45 telling that story. But, you know, since you were five, I can see that happening.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. You know, a lot of people have always asked me, how do you live here in the D.C. area and you are such a huge Cowboys fan? I think, you know, during that time frame, the Cowboys, you know, I mean, you have to look at the history of the team and the magic, and also because, and this is another one of those funny, sad but true stories, is that I'm a tall female. You know, so for our listeners who don't know, I'm pretty tall for a female. I'm 5'8". So growing up, I got picked on all the time, and my nickname was, ironically, Too Tall Jim. So, so again, it's another Cowboys reference, you know, that just seemed to be connected with me. And, you know, clearly I'm nowhere near as tall as Too Tall. And now that with the WNBA, there are clearly women who are much taller than I am. So in the grand scheme of things, I'm probably rather short. However, you know, I am, you know, again, connected through that analogy. And so it just, you know, all of those nicknames stuck, and I really and truly became a fan of the team. And as a young athlete, I became more involved, of course, in the sport itself and understanding the dynamics, you know, of football. And then through progression and time, it really is what it is. I am a diehard fan. I study the game. Not just a fan, you know, but clearly because we're doing radio, so I'm a professional and you're a professional as well. And, you know, and I think that you can't be a professional if you're not a fan first. So I think that that's, you know, really, really critical. But I'll tell you what, because I have some questions for you about your fanhood too. And, you know, and what are your thoughts about the games that we saw this weekend? But first we have to go to the No Joke Football Huddle, and we got to talk shop. So today we are sponsored again by Zazzle.com. So go today to the shop and purchase our fabulous merchandise. And it's at www.zazzle.com/gridironbeauties. And so you have to check for all of our daily deals until Christmas. We want to thank everyone so far that has helped us with the awesome sales in December. And we want to remind everyone that every sale of the No Joke Football brand this year goes to help another player get noticed and recognized internationally. We have to really make sure that we promote that, and everyone understands that, you know, the No Joke Football Huddle really and truly goes to support these wonderful, fabulous female athletes, you know, that we're promoting. Also a reminder that just like in Queensland, the MVP and the two-time champion, Ms. Christy Moran of Logan City Jets and Laura Evans of the Gold Coast Stingrays, we will have another No Joke Football photo shoot with Gridiron Australia Queensland players. And the shoot will be done by the Miss Talented Miss Lisa Thomas of TL Photography. So, Lisa, thank you so much for everything that you do to help promote these fabulous ladies. Everyone, get your favorite leggings, your tees, your hoodies, and you can also customize them, plus worldwide shopping. So, again, go now to our Zazzle.com/gridironbeauties. Shop and get your gear and help us bring awareness that girls can play American football, and that, of course, this game is no joke. Keeping everyone up to date on college football playoffs, I invite everyone to follow Gridiron Girls for tailgating ideas and recipes, plus updates from their bloggers on the playoff matchups. So let's get into this huddle sponsored by Zazzle.com. Oh, and before we do, don't forget to vote for Carly Harmon for her chance to go to the Super Bowl. Visit TogetherWeMakeFootball.com/vote. Again, that's www.togetherwemakefootball.com/vote. Voting ends January the 4th, and we want to send Carly to the big game. So, staying up to date with the women's game and the tryouts in North America and in Europe, follow again Gridiron Beauties on Twitter for the latest updates and the Women's World Games in January. Follow at, and then go to USAF football site and search women's for more ideals. Excuse me, for more details. And also a reminder to follow the Australian women's off-season update and keep up to date with the latest Gridiron Victoria Queensland. Keep up to date with ACT and New South Wales information. And you can do all of that by following them on Twitter at Women's Gridiron and also on their website, www.wglaus.com, for cool features, past stories, updates, insight, profiles on the young ladies, and more about what they're doing down there in Australia. Also, you can follow on Twitter at FXF_Mexico and find out what they're doing in the beautiful country of Mexico and keep up with the ladies down there. Remember, again, that's at FXF_Mexico on Twitter, and you can also follow them at FXF Female, which is Extreme Football on Facebook. Staying up to date again with those ladies off season, find out who the new players are going to be, what the updates are, what are they doing, and you can follow them also on Twitter at LIBFOFICIAL. That's at LIBFOFICIAL. And finally, tryouts for North America are now on in the USA. So, ladies, if you are ready and you think you've got what it takes to get on a female football team, then go ahead and follow on Twitter at Backseat Coach. You can also follow at WFA Football, at IWFL. Some more Twitter handles you can also reach out to. Again, if you're interested in trying out for one of the fabulous female football teams, you can reach out on Twitter to at WSFL Football, at MyLFF, excuse me, at MyLFL, and you can also follow on Twitter at SSFL Football. Again, those are the Twitter handles for anyone who's interested in trying out for one of the United States football teams. If you're in Canada and want to try out for one of the female football teams in Canada, then go online and go to Twitter, and you can follow at WWCFL. You can follow on Twitter at MWFL Football and also at CCWFL. Again, those are the Twitter handles for anyone living in Canada who's interested in joining a team. And thank you again to our network partners, and we want to give them a shout out. You can follow them on Twitter at WFB Talk and also at Miss Gridiron 9. And lastly, at GI Queendom. Again, you can follow our other partners on Twitter at WFB Talk, at Miss Gridiron 9, and at GI Queendom. So that's the women's news. And for more information, you can follow us on Twitter at Gridiron Beauty or on Facebook at facebook.com/gridironbeauties and on Instagram at Gridiron Beauties. Now, Eric, it is time for us to tackle the big Week 16 games. So it's time to talk about who's in and who's out. And I got to do it. Playoff. You want to talk about playoffs? Let's talk about the playoffs. I had to do it. Okay. So, Eric, go ahead and you tell me, and I'll let you start. Because everybody already knows where I am right now. So, Eric, you tell me, what do you think were the big games, the big surprises, the big blow-ups, the big did you really just expect them to do that? And, you know, and who's the shocker, too, for you, who's out of the playoffs?
Well, actually, starting off, I want to go back to yesterday's games. You look at the Skins and the Eagles, the Chargers, San Francisco. It's like the playoffs have already started for, you know, roughly, you know, basically 12 teams. So you had, you know, the Skins winning by three. You had the Chargers. They had to go into overtime to win. It was just both games were just back and forth. So And I did predict that the Skins would come out of the East. Obviously, I was wrong, but I didn't take into account that Sanchez would be as bad as he was. But that's the way it ended up. So, but yeah, I mean, you look at the Skins game. You know, two missed field goals. That kind of told part of the story right there. Parkey was 1 for 3 for the Eagles. Sanchez had 2 turnovers, 1 pick. I mean, the bright spot for him was he did throw for 374 yards, but the turnovers, the missed field goals, and the penalties just crushed him. So, I mean, obviously the Skins deserved to win that game. So, obviously, if the Eagles didn't make all those mistakes, we're looking at a different scenario here between them and the Cowboys. Look at the Chargers. They had to go into overtime, come from behind, big win for them. Rivers 33 of 54 for 356 yards. Threw 3 picks. They easily could have lost that game because the 49ers were definitely in it, especially looked like Kaepernick was back to his old self. I mean, with 150 yards rushing, not to mention passing, but he outrushed himself as far as yards. So that's a game that they easily could have won, but, the Chargers were able to hold on. So, I mean, it already started off crazy. So I can't wait to see how the rest of this starts to unfold here over the next few weeks here. So, did you get to catch any of those games?
I listened to the Redskins game. I did get to listen to the Redskins game. I did not get to watch the Chargers game, but I did, like I said, I did listen to the Redskins game. This has just been, I think this whole week really and truly has just been absolutely crazy. I think the one that I'm going to be watching is going to be the Panthers and the Falcons next week. That's the game that I really think I want to watch, because the NFC South for me has truly been that up and down division all season long. And it's kind of like they've been playing hot potato. We're the division champs. No, here you have it this week. No, you have it this week. And then the only team that didn't really get to ever have a chance to play are the Bucks. You know, they never really got a chance to even to get into the game. But I really and truly, and I was surprised actually that Cam played this weekend, and I really thought that he would be rested more after that accident. But I will tell you what did surprise me, though, and I hate to bring it back to the Cowboys, I really was surprised that, one, they played DeMarco Murray, and, two, I'm surprised they played him as long as they did. Once the Cowboys were up 28-0, I would not have brought DeMarco Murray back into the game.
I really wasn't even thinking about that because, they were kind of playing him off and on anyway. I guess you got to kind of see where he's at, but, that really wasn't that much of a thought to me once they got up, because I knew they were going to be taking him out anyway, so.
Yeah, well, they still played him longer than I think they should have. I'll tell you who else, was a big surprise for me. The Steelers. The Steelers have really turned it around this season, and, because at the beginning of the season, the way the Steelers started off was so abysmal. And right. I don't know what happened, but in the past 3 weeks, it's like a light switch came on and something finally started clicking. And Big Ben is literally having one of the best seasons of his career. And I know that there was so much talk when Todd Haley first got to the team, were he and Ben going to click, and, was he going to buy into the offense? And sometimes it takes a little while, and that's okay, because not everything, is going to go smoothly, because you also, you're dealing with people. You have to be able to look at what it is that you're trying to accomplish, and then how can you work with that individual skill to fit your format, your plays, your schemes and schematics So do you have to fit it to the player? Does the player have to fit to you? You know, how do you get that to buy in? And I think that the Steelers have finally figured out what it was that they needed to do, you know, in order to make, in order to really make some of the, make this work. I think the other thing for me was, again, the other abysmal play for Johnny Football. I think that that's going to be a conversation that we're really going to have for probably throughout the off season. I think that that's going to be really dominating in terms of one of the things we discussed this year.
Well, as far as
were
he goes,
surprised?
I mean,
were you surprised? I mean, what were your expectations when he played last week and then this week again?
Exactly what happened. I mean, you look at the fact that, number one, he's a rookie. I mean, they were coming in. They still had a shot at the playoffs. So, you know, he's getting everybody else's best shot at him, number one. Number two, like I said, he's a rookie. Number three, his game really hasn't evolved to the pro game yet. I mean, he's still – the way he thinks and sees things, and a number of, you know, former quarterbacks have confirmed this, is he's still kind of in that college mode where, like, for example, if he's, you know, going through his progressions, he's kind of waiting to see a guy open instead of anticipating that the guy is going to be open. So by that time, he throws the ball, it's too late. It's a pick. It's out of bounds. You know, he's getting hit. So, I mean, he hasn't caught up to the speed of the game. So, you know, the way he's playing is pretty much what I expected out of him. Now, if he was a Blake Bortles type, maybe I would expect a little bit more because his game was a little bit more pro-ready, in my opinion, than Manziel's. But, yes, as far as the Steelers go, I've been a big fan of Mike Tomlin for a long time, and I know I heard him say earlier this year that this is a rebuilding year for them. So if this is a rebuilding year, I can only imagine what next year is going to be like. But, whatever it was, they hit that switch. I think part of it was when James Harrison came back and kind of put his stamp on that locker room. And then, you know, next couple weeks after that, you know, they flip another switch. And then, you know, next thing you know, Roethlisberger seems like he's back to his old self. So, yeah, they're – sorry, Erica, but they're my favorite to come out of the AFC. I mean, like I said, I've been – you know, Mike Tomlin fan for a long time. I've been a Steeler fan on the side. Obviously, the Bears are my number one team, but Steeler fan on the side. You know, ever since I was a kid. You know, back when they had, you know, the steel curtain. You know, when I was real little, and all the way up through to now. So, yeah. So that was definitely a big surprise there.
So wait, and I'm going to ask this honestly. You think the Steelers are going to be the team to come out of the AFC? Now, are you talking about just coming out in terms of, you know, getting past the wild card and the divisional round to the conference championships, or do you think the Steelers are going to be in the big dance this year?
I don't necessarily think they're going to be in the big dance, but I'm saying I'm rooting for that to happen.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, to get to the Super Bowl is going to have to go through New England. If anybody beats New England at home, it's probably going to be because New England had a bad game.
Okay.
So I don't see that happening, but I am rooting for that to happen.
Okay. Do you think then, if they don't do it, what do you think is the likelihood that we could be looking at the Broncos and the Patriots in another Brady Manning decisive game for who goes to the Super Bowl out of the AFC?
I think the likelihood is very good. I mean, especially you look at the AFC West where the Broncos are. You know, obviously they've got that division sewn up. I think they could definitely beat Indianapolis. I think they could feasibly beat Pittsburgh, depending on where the game is at. If it's in Pittsburgh, it'd be kind of tight there, but – well, actually, it'd probably be in Denver because Denver's got the better record, but I could feasibly see them.
But now, remember, the Steelers did go into Denver. What was that, Manning's first year with the team? And no, it wasn't. No, it was not that year. So I was going to say, was that maybe that was the Tim Tebow year. I'm trying to remember. There was a player on the Steelers who had the injury where he could not go and play because of the altitude. Do you remember? Now I'm trying to remember.
Oh, yeah. I think that was a couple seasons ago.
Yes,
yeah, he's
it
got,
was.
You're right. I forget what illness it is, but, couldn't go because of the altitude issues and issues with his blood. So, yeah, but, yeah, I think that was a couple years
right.
ago.
No, you're right. That was a couple seasons ago. I guess the reason why I'm saying that is because the Broncos have proven that they can't be beaten in Denver in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know.
And also, Peyton Manning's playoff record isn't the greatest. I'm pretty sure he's tired of hearing that, but, I mean, it is what it is.
If you've noticed, I'm sorry, go ahead, Eric.
I would just say, it is what it is. I mean, he's great. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever during the regular season. But, the postseason, I don't know what happened. I don't know if he just gets nervous or he starts, pushing too hard or maybe he gets overconfident or what. But, his playoff record speaks for itself.
No, absolutely. And, even right now, if you're looking at the stats, by regular season and passing, even right now, Andrew Luck is actually leading Manning,
right.
Just in terms of, quarterback ratings. And I'm looking at it, just in terms of yardages and percentages, and I'm just like, because Andrew Luck right now has 4,492 passing yards, and Manning has 4,143. And I was, that was really surprising to me because I honestly thought that Manning would have the higher yards, for this season just because he literally has put on a clinic all year. But
yeah.
Andrew Luck has the higher, completion, rate. And I'm just like, I don't know what's happened, but it seems like in the past 2 weeks, Manning's game has really gone down. Now, I don't know, if that is attributed directly to him, if, injuries, is it tired? I mean, the whole talk about, especially after having the neck injury, that Manning wears down as the season wears down. And then there's also that whole thing about the cold factor. Because the reality is, does Denver really want the playoffs to come through them as opposed to being able to go to a warmer weather team or to be able to play, let's say, Indiana inside the dome?
Well, I would think that they would want to be, at home as much as they can because that stadium is loud. It's rival, any other team, Seattle, that people have gone on record as saying that's one of the loudest stadiums ever. So I would assume that they would want that. But then again, it's the playoffs, and we are talking Peyton Manning. Now, Andrew Luck, I would suspect that he's probably got better numbers because he is a threat to run, whereas Peyton isn't. So that also opens up things for you when you're also a threat to run. Everybody knows that you're going to throw the ball in an obvious passing situation, they know what defense to call. But if they know that, if nobody's open, he may tuck it and run, then they've got to change things up. So typically that means, one or two less guys in coverage that have to, kind of be a spy for the quarterback. Or, we can just send the house and, just hope you get there if it's somebody that you know is not going to run. So, prime example, you look at last year when the Colts were in the playoffs against Kansas City and they came back from 31 down. If Luck was just one of those guys that would just stay in the pocket, that wouldn't have happened. So
no, it certainly would not.
So, these playoffs, especially AFC games, they're just going to be, insane. So I can't wait. It's like they started already, like I said earlier. So, but, yeah, this is going to be great.
Okay, well, so that's another question then that I'd like to discuss this. And now, again, I know we're totally talking two different sports, but just how everyone automatically knows that the west is a stronger field than the east when it comes to basketball. I mean, they're just, the teams are just more competitive, you know, and in that regard, then everybody kind of just knows, all right, yeah, then it's the, you know, the west. Which conference do you think is the stronger conference? You're the NFC.
Well, nowadays it's definitely the AFC. You know, it used to be that the NFC were was the bullies. I mean, you know, they'd run all over the AFC pretty much, you know, at will. But now it's the AFC. I mean, they've got their teams are more physical. Their players are a little bit more athletic. It's almost like the SEC conference against, say, you know, the Pac-12 or something like that. It just, for whatever reason, it seems like the AFC has, you know, caught up to whatever it is need to do to be successful. And I think they've, as a whole, have passed the NFC.
I would definitely agree with you on the whole physical side. I think that especially when you have those defensive-minded teams like the Steelers, like the Ravens, even the Texans, you know, especially with J.J. Watt, I definitely would agree with you in that regard. But I would say, I'm going to say maybe from a quarterback position, now granted I know that both Brady and Manning are in the AFC, so, you know, that notwithstanding, if you also think about it from a finesse position, despite Tony Romo's playoff records, Tony Romo, Aaron Rodgers, and even Eli to a degree, and then Drew Brees, I think that from that perspective, I think that NFC still has it, you know. I think that it depends on what you're looking at in terms of what's the, you know, what is it that you value. And I guess because this has become such a pass-happy league that it's definitely obvious that they favor quarterbacks, and Brady and Manning have definitely benefited from this position and from the rules and the changes that have been made. But Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees have totally put their mark, you know, on the finesse of the position. And I just think that...
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that... And I'm probably wrong, but I really truly believe that I think that the NFC is going to make this crazy comeback. And we haven't even talked about Russell Wilson, who's totally been a game changer, you know,
right,
in terms of his ability to not only see the field, make the passes, adjust to the defense, and be that run threat at the same time. And all while doing being under 6'3".
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, if you're talking, you know, individual quarterback play, I would have to say, the NFC for, you know, for the reasons that you just mentioned. And definitely Rodgers and Breeze, you know, they're accurate. They've got strong arms, and they're both threats to run. So that puts a lot more pressure on the defense than someone who is just, you know, just sitting in the pocket.
Right.
So if you're looking at individual quarterback play, I'd say the NFC would, you know, kind of take the edge there. But I'm just speaking just from what I see, just, you know, watching the action in the game, how the game flows. I think the thing that kind of gives the AFC the edge is you look at the NFC, the NFC South in particular. That whole conference, nobody has a winning record, not even 500.
Yeah.
So,
that's
so I think,
true.
Based on that, you can give the edge to the AFC. So,
right.
But yeah, the
well,
NFC South
true.
Is like, it's almost like nobody wants to win the division.
No, that's why I was using that whole reference of hot potato earlier. It was like, here, you take the division. No, you take the division. No, you take the division. And it's and at times it felt more like keep away from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers than even anything else remotely resembling a team wanting, you know, to excel. And I think that's what's so weird for me is because literally less than two seasons ago, you had Atlanta, the Saints, and you had the Panthers, like, you know, literally fighting and clawing because they were so close in terms of just being serious contenders and threats. And I'm just like, you know, wow, what in the world has really happened to this division that they are just in such a state? But, yeah, you're right. I mean, barely getting out with a 500, that's just mind-boggling. But so, okay, so speaking of mind-boggling, did you hear that, or the reports anyway coming out of Ashburn are that RG3 and Jay Gruden will both be back again next year? What do you think about that?
Well, it's kind of what I expected. I have to say kind of 51% thinking they'd be back, 50% they wouldn't. I kind of figured Gruden would be back because this is his first year. The only reason I was thinking Griffin would be back is because they're going to give him another chance in this system versus, you know, trying to put somebody else in there that doesn't know the system. Obviously, they feel like Cousins probably isn't the guy. They're probably not too super confident on Colt McCoy, even though, I mean, the offense, when he's running it, is not quite as frantic and crazy. But it's like, you know, is this really going to be the guy that's going to take us over the top? So I think I think that's a good decision. And like I said, it's kind of expected that that would happen.
No,
that's
and I'm here.
That
I don't know.
I was going to say, was that something that you were expecting to happen?
Crazy.
Or were you shocked by that?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm just really going to just sit back and just kind of watch with the side eye. And the reason why I say that is I'm watching with a healthy dose of skepticism. And I think the reason why is because, of course, this is all I'm hearing, being here in the nation's capital. But after you have publicly thrown your quarterback under the bus and basically thrown your hands up and said, I can't work with this guy, you know, and the whole drama of all of that, and then you turn around and you're clapping him on the back saying, yeah, this is my guy. You know, and I know that Gruden hasn't exactly done that. But, however, it's almost like he's had to, because of how well RG3 has played in the past 2 weeks, it's almost like a slight mea culpa has been happening over here. And we already know for a fact that RG3 is Bruce Allen's guy. You know, for a fact that he's Dan Snyder's guy. And even his John Gruden has gone on record as saying, you know, Jay's kind of in the middle of a mess here. The problem, and this is what I have said, is, and even one of the post bloggers actually said something to the same, that RG3's kind of gotten a bum rap here, you know. The first year he came, you know, it was all hail the conquering hero, and then he gets hurt. And then the second year is like, oh, well, you're not really all that after all, huh? You're not the miracle worker. Your feet aren't necessarily walking on water, are they? What board you got under there? Now it's kind of like, can you hurry up and think? Because you're pulling down my team. You know, I mean, it's just,
right. He's
literally gone from hero to villain in 2 years. And they broke their bright, shiny toy. I mean, literally, it's like the kid who gets this wonderful Christmas present, plays with it, breaks it, and the mom tapes it back together and plays with it again and breaks it, and then says, I don't want this anymore. It's no good. And I think that when you do all of that, it just really messes with the psyche. And then to keep rotating him in and out, in and out. Okay, I want you today. No, I don't want you today. Oh, well, I don't have a choice. All right, you come back in today. You know, I mean, all of those things I think are just huge psychological factors that just make for a mess. And the other thing that I think that people honestly forget, these are still kids. I mean, yes, these are grown men, and I get it, but you're talking about someone who's 2 years removed from college. Now, you go back to when you were in college and your first job. If you went through all that RG3 has been through in the first 2 years of your first job, how far do you think you would be professionally today?
Right. Yeah, I hear you. Now, also, I
just don't know.
I don't think it's healthy. Well, no, I mean, something like that is never healthy. But part of the issue is they're trying to, and they may change it coming up, but in the past they've been trying to make him do things that, you know, it's not him. They want him to stay in the pocket more. And, you know, obviously his game is more wide open, you know, screens, rollouts, you know, quarterback draws, you know, design running plays for him. Obviously, his passing game is going to have to develop as he gets older because you know, naturally he's just going to lose a step. You know, injuries start to pile up after a while. So he will have to learn how to, you know, be better from the pocket. But that doesn't have to be his only game. I mean, you look at somebody like Colin Kaepernick. You know, he's got explosive speed. He's got a cannon for an arm. If you take that, somebody like that, and just basically just try to cut their game in half and just be like, you know what, this is what you need to do. You know, that it just makes it worse for them because now they have to basically become another person mentally. And you eventually you're just going to be yourself. So, I mean, that just creates just turmoil everywhere. You know, the team, the front office, the fans, the media. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't see any harm in taking a guy and saying, okay, you know, this is the guy we picked. Now let's build everything around his skill set instead of trying to make him what we think he should be. Let's let him do his thing. We'll put guys around him that can help him do his thing and go from there. And if it doesn't work, then at least you can say, okay, he played his game. It wasn't something that we were trying to get him to do. It didn't work. So, you know, let's move on and, you know, get somebody else in. So
I totally agree. Well, and yet now does that mean that, and that's the other thing, that just doesn't mean that RG3 doesn't need work. I mean, he still has a really bad problem with staring down his receivers. So as long as he continues to do that, he is going to, you know, he's going to have turnovers. He's going to put himself and the team in a position to be intercepted. I mean, if you know, like I was listening, like I said, I was listening to the game, you know, because I was running errands and told me things to do yesterday. And I'm listening to the game, and, you know, I think Chris Cooley said it, if you're going to throw to Pierre Garçon, can you look at DeSean Jackson?
Yeah, I saw that.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, can you look at DeSean Jackson and then throw to Pierre Garçon, not say, oh, this is what I'm doing? And it's like, you know, you're telegraphing to your defense what you're going to do. Well, then you're leaving yourself open to be picked. And, you know, those kind of decisions are clearly things that those have to be worked on. There's no getting around that. And then, you know, and in that regard, absolutely, no one's giving RG3 a pass for the things that he does not do well. No one is giving him a pass for that at all. But what we are saying is that there's work that can be done to help improve him so that he does get better. And in the process of getting better, then let's look at what we have to do to work on those skills.
Right.
You know, those are the things,
One quick point before we move on about him is I think it would help him if he could, like, take the off season to put on more size. Because a lot of times if you see him get hit or he falls, it's how it looks like he gets, you know, like twisted up in some kind of awkward position, and you know, the legs flying out this way or arms flying out that way, and a lot of that's just lack of strength. You know, when you're getting hit by guys, you know, 280, 290, 300 plus, it's very unforgiving. So if, you know, if he can, you know, put on maybe another, you know, 10, 15 pounds, that can help him with his durability as well.
Absolutely. Well, and so speaking of durability, what do you think are going to be the chances for Harbaugh to come back and to the 49ers?
Well, I mean, if you listen to the talk, it doesn't seem like there's much of a chance. Now, I was talking to someone earlier today about this. You look at his overall record in the pros, you know, it's 43-19-1 over the last 3 years. Been to the playoffs every year.
Right.
Had a Super Bowl appearance.
Yep.
You know, basically turned that offense around. It's much more dynamic now. And they're looking at getting rid of him after one bad year. I know a lot of places would kill to have a guy like that, even if they did have, you know, one bad year. So if you listen to the talk, he's out of there. But if you look at it, the overall picture, I say they should keep him at least one more year and see what happens. Because if he's not the guy, then who is?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are you going to do, bring in somebody from college? Because all the good coaches in the NFL right now are sewn up. So it's not like there's a huge pool of, you know, Bill Cowers and, you know, John Gruden's out there that are looking to get hired.
No. Well, but speaking of looking to get hired, I actually did hear that Shanahan wants to come back and coach. But I heard that on the radio this morning. And they were saying Shanahan would love to come back and coach in the NFL. But he's also very clear that he wants a team that's already on track to win. And he wants a team where the players are willing to be coached, which means, you know, well, we can all read between the lines on that. Basically, he wants a team where he can come in and literally have unilateral power and authority to do things his way. But he definitely wants to come back and coach. So,
yeah,
would be willing to pick him up? Okay, so you already suspect that the Bears, you know, that your coach is out. How would you feel if Shanahan were to come back to the league? Would you want him in Chicago?
Based on his recent history, I wouldn't be too excited about it. I know he's had, you know, two Super Bowls in the past. But just based on his recent history, the way things were handled with the Redskins, I mean, I just wouldn't be too excited about it. I'd be very skeptical and just kind of, you know, sitting on the sidelines, so to speak, just kind of checking things out before I emotionally invest myself in it. I'd be much more excited if they got Jim Harbaugh. Even if that would be, you know, something short term. And I say that because he is one of those personalities where he can kind of wear on you after, you know, 3-4 years. I think that may be what's happening in San Francisco right now. But yeah, I'd be much more excited to see Harbaugh come to town.
So it's less. And so you think San Francisco is less about his talent and his ability and more about the person?
I think so. I think at this point in his career, just my personal observation, he might be better for the college game because, you know, those guys are in and out there in, you know, 2, 3, 4 years anyway. So it's not like you're going to have, you know, 6, 7 year vets on the in a college team that are trying to deal with him.
That's an interesting perspective.
Yeah,
no,
it's kind of the same thing
I like that.
With John Gruden, you know, with Oakland, where else was he? Tampa Bay. Or was he in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, he was actually with Tampa when they won the Super Bowl, which was
and
they beat the Raiders in the Super Bowl, and he had just left from Oakland and then went to Tampa.
Yeah. So, and both of those situations ended terribly. You know, they were all excited in the beginning. And then after a while, you know, his last years, you know, players are yelling at him on the sidelines. He's losing his mind, yelling at the referees. There's all kinds of stuff going on behind the scenes. So guys like that, they just tend to wear on you because they're so intense. And they're always in your face. They're always on your back. And after a while, it's just like, oh, just get out of here, you know.
But now let me ask you this question, though, because you made a really interesting statement. You said after watching what Shanahan did in Washington. Now, could it be that the issue isn't Shanahan, it's just this dysfunction of being in Washington? So, for example, if you have someone who's really, really, really good, but they go into a situation that comes out, that when they come out, leaves them tainted, is it the individual or was it the situation? I mean, did they create the situation in Washington, or were they impacted by a situation that was already in place?
I think
so. From that perspective, would you still?
Some of both.
Okay.
I think it's some of both, because if you look at the draft, when they drafted RG3 and
right.
Cousins in the same draft, that's
right.
only right there. Anybody who knows football even a little bit knows that RG3 was not Shanahan's guy. It was, you know, his son
right.
wanted him. And it's kind of like, okay, Mike Shanahan will give you this draft pick just to kind of make you happy. And I think even he was surprised that Griffin ended up doing as well as he did. So it was like, okay, well, I got to keep him in there now because, you know, he's doing so well. I think he couldn't wait to get Cousins in there. But
that's actually really true. That's a good point. I keep forgetting that they drafted them both, and a lot of people were saying that, you know, hey, why are you drafting two quarterbacks if this is your guy? Now, you're right. So he set the stage for this show. You're right. That's a really good point. So that leads us to a perfect transition for the next question that I want to ask you, which, speaking of the show, the Lions in the hunt. They're in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
In the playoffs.
Yep.
Like,
only the
literally,
second team,
I'm like wondering. Like, I almost want to say, am I old enough to remember the last time that the Lions were in the playoffs? What do you think? Can they get out of the first round?
That's a tough one.
Come on, this is a football show. We got to ask the tough questions.
Yeah, I mean, can they? Yes. Will they? I just don't think so. I don't think Stafford is at the point yet where he can get them over that part himself. I mean, the defense, yeah, I mean, you got one of the best defenses in the league. But, I mean, I don't see them getting out of the first round. Now, it depends on who they play, of course, but let's say, you know, it happens to be Green Bay. No, I don't see that happening at all. If it's, let's see, who else is a friend from the NFC? Arizona. Well, Carolina, if it ends up that way, I can see them beating Carolina. Don't see them beating Seattle. Don't see them beating Arizona. So I think they might just be one and done.
Yeah, I can see that. I can, and I hate to say it, but you're right. I think right now, just for Lions fans, this is one of those feel-good moments. You know, you're here.
Right.
I definitely agree with you. With the exception of maybe the Cardinals or the Panthers, I mean, of course, you know, they're not going to, the Lions aren't going to play the Cardinals in the divisional round. But,
right.
Yeah, unless the Lions get the Panthers or the Falcons, yeah, I don't see them getting out of the divisional round. I just.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
it's.
I mean, unless, you know, they just pick a game and just light it up. If they can get Megatron going, if they can get Reggie Bush going, Joyke Bell, if all those guys can have a great game, then yeah, then they can advance. But all of them being on the same page at one time, I don't think I've seen it happen all year.
No. I don't see it either. No, I don't see it either. Okay, so Seahawks, do you think Are they getting out of the wild card round? Because the Seahawks, for me, are like the NFC version of the Steelers. They were stinking it up at the beginning of the season, you know, and all of a sudden, the last minute, they literally have turned it on.
Yeah.
They're clicking on all cylinders. And I'll say this, I think Russell Westbrook has been very consistent all season in terms of what he's been able to do, you know, from a quarterback stance. I think it's the fact that the defense was not clicking that was the huge factor, because in as much as Russell Westbrook is a really good quarterback, they're not a high-scoring team.
Mm-hmm.
So with them not being a high-scoring team, then they really rely on the defense to keep the other team from scoring.
Yeah, and, you know, Sherman and those guys, what's the safety name? Forget his name, but... Yeah, they've said, you know, in the past few weeks is they've started to finally gel. They're starting to play, you know, Seahawk football. They're more physical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can see the passion. You know, they're, you know, back to the hard hitting. You know, just flying around that. So, yeah, they've finally starting to come around, and, I mean, they couldn't have picked a better time.
No.
For some reason, it wasn't quite there at the beginning of the season, but as they say, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. So, and they're starting to pick it up.
You're absolutely right. I mean, Russell Wilson, you know, he's got a 62% passer rating. So it's not like, you know, he's just done anything, you know, phenomenal this year, you know.
Right.
You know, I mean, you're looking at, 248 completions, you know, for the season. That's not really high numbers,
right?
You know, in terms
to
of
that point, though. I mean, he does do a lot of things that don't really get into the stat book,
right?
You know,
and
as,
of course, there's the yards that he runs,
right?
You know, and he's got right because he, you know, he's got the running yards. But that's what I'm saying. So if you had to look, okay, so looking right now at the playoff picture for the NFC. You've got the Cardinals and the Lions in the divisional round. In the wild card round, you have the Seahawks, the Cowboys, and the Packers. We're just waiting now to figure out for the South if it's going to be the Panthers or the Falcons. So that being said, which two teams from the NFC do you see in the championship round?
Well, let's see. As much as I hate to say it, probably Green Bay.
I knew it.
I'll give you, let's see. Because I always forget about the Cowboys, because I'm not used to the Cowboys being up there anymore.
What? Oh.
I was used to them being up there, you know, back in the, you know, the early 90s, because, you know, because they were always in the hunt every year. But, yeah, I always forget about the Cowboys. Yeah, this. It's hard to pick, but I'm going to have to go with Seattle. Well, I'll give you three teams, and then they can just fight it out. Seattle, Dallas, and Arizona. No, I'm sorry, Seattle, Arizona, and Green Bay. So out of those teams, I'm, you know, just let them fight it out because it's too hard to pick.
Okay. Now, I think that if I had to say who would be coming out, I would probably say either the Cowboys, the Seahawks, or the Packers. I would say one of those three teams. Or two of those three teams. Because truthfully, like you've already mentioned, I don't see Matthew Stafford being able to win. And I don't think that the Cardinals, despite how well they've managed to stay afloat,
despite the injuries, I don't think that they were going to have what it takes to get out of the divisional round. I really and truly think that the defense of the Packers and the Seahawks are too strong for either the Lions or the Cardinals. And I think the offense is too strong. I think the Cowboys' offense and the Packers' offense is too strong for either one of those teams. I will say that I think the Cowboys' defense is probably on par with the Cardinals and the Lions, and I think it just really depends on which Cowboys' defense shows up. So those would be my three teams.
That's going to be a huge part of it for the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. That would be my three teams for the NFC. So, okay, since we've already established that the AFC is probably the tougher division, and I know, you know, we already know who Erica wants. Hi, Erica. We you know, we got to call your Patriots. I think coming out of the AFC, you know, the two teams that will be in the conference round, I honestly think it will be between the Steelers, the Broncos, and the Patriots.
Let's see, you said Steelers, Broncos. Okay, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Now
it's...
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Well, but now here's the caveat, or here's the twist. The Ravens, the Bills, and the Texans, and the Chiefs are actually still in the hunt. See, that's what's so crazy for me, that basically, other than the NFC South, the NFC is locked up. The AFC, for their wild card round, they're still toss-ups. So even though we're saying, we know for a fact the Patriots and the Broncos, so that's a given. But between this weekend and next weekend, any one of these four teams probably could be back out of it between the Chargers, the Bengals, the Steelers, and the Colts, because you've got the Ravens, the Bills, the Texans, and the Chiefs, all in the hunt.
Right. And let's not forget the Ravens aren't that far removed from the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
So they and when they were in the Super Bowl, then they kind of creep in the back door a little bit.
Yes.
If I remember
And the Ravens are the seventh seed. The Chargers are the sixth seed.
Right. The Chargers another game like they had last night. They're done because they had too much fall their way. That doesn't happen, you know, two games in a row usually.
No, it doesn't. And I don't know if Philip Rivers still has it left in him, you know, to kind of keep going.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true because they were talking about his back issues earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know this, but he's got a bulging disc that you know could end up getting worse. So, anybody that's ever had any back issues know how that's kind of an iffy thing. I mean, you can be done just by bending over tying your shoes. So,
yeah.
And I don't know if they have a capable backup. I can't say that I'm really close to the Chargers, but I don't know if their backup would be even capable of being close to what Philip Rivers is. So,
well, and so now looking at this, so I'm looking at the playoff standing. The Broncos and the Colts clinched their division title, so they're fine. They're okay. But the Bengals and the Chargers, those are the two teams that are still on the cusp. Those are the two teams who are still on the cusp. Because for the division leaders right now, in the AFC, you've got the Patriots, you've got the Broncos, you've got the Bengals, you've got the Colts. But on the wild card, you've got the Steelers and the Chargers. So that's kind of where this is right now. And I think that because the Bengals are they're the division leaders, but they have not clinched their division title. So that's why the Bengals and the Chargers are the two iffy teams. Either one of them could be knocked out next week.
And if the Bengals had a stronger performer at quarterback, I would say they'd definitely be able to pass the test. But Dalton, you know, he is what he is. I don't know if he's ever going to change, but that to me throws up a major red flag in my mind as far as if they're going to advance in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that that's going to be critical. Well, we are almost done for the evening. Gosh, the time is flying by so fast.
Yeah, we were having fun.
I know.
We need to talk to
Oscar. But it's not as much fun if Erica were here. I know. But it wouldn't be as much fun because we're still missing our Erica, and, you know, we're not a team without her. We are the dynamic trio.
Right.
Erica, get well. We really and truly miss you. Last question for the evening, and then we'll get ready to close on out. What do you think was your big surprise, you know, really and truly your big surprise for the weekend out of all the games that you've seen so far?
Well, I have to say the biggest surprise, and it wasn't really an exciting thing, but it was definitely a surprise, and that was the poor showing that the Colts had today. I was expecting a much closer game. Actually, I was even thinking that they might win because they've got a winning record on the road. They were 4-2 before today, and the Cowboys were 3-4 at home. So I was expecting
a
much closer game than what it was. So that was, to me, that was probably the biggest surprise of the weekend so far. What about you?
I would have to say yes. I would actually have to say yes. That was one of my big surprises. My other surprise, believe it or not, but it wasn't on the weekend, it was the Jaguars and the Titans. Because the Jaguars beat the Titans on Thursday night, on the last night for Thursday night's last, for the last Thursday night football game. And the reason why I say that's a surprise is because people have been so underwhelmed and have basically written the Jaguars off, so that truthfully, no one has really been paying attention to the fact that they are nicely, quietly, subtly, and under the radar making moves with that team. It's not anything fancy. It's not anything spectacular. There's no, you know, they don't have this, well, not that Johnny Manziel's actually been popping, but they don't have that splashy, you know, quarterback. They don't have any of that. But what they are doing is just building an old-fashioned, solid football team where they are slowly putting all of the pieces of their team together, you know, like a puzzle. Okay, this is a fit, and this is a fit. And they're not being splashy about it. They're not being loud. They're not doing any of those things. They're just quietly playing football. And I like that. I really, truly
and
like
if you,
that.
If you look,
so because – uh-huh, no, go ahead.
If you look at the team itself, even though they're, 3-12, there's still a lot of excitement, not only for what's happened, you know, the good things that's happened this year, but for what's coming up. I mean, you know, they go out and fight hard. You know, they're just the last game, they're in the locker room like they won the Super Bowl, you know, because all of this excitement is building. So, yeah, something probably in the next two or three seasons is going to start happening down there.
I would definitely say two. I wouldn't go out as far as three, but I definitely would say two. And again, what I really like, I think, the most about the Jaguars, because you're right, I mean, 3-12 is nothing, but they don't lay down and say, we're nothing. They don't lay down like dogs. They don't come and say, oh, we're the Jaguars. Okay, come beat us up. They come out and play with pride every game.
Exactly.
Every game, they are giving it their all. And I think they're really doing something really good with Bortles as their quarterback. Again, nothing splashy, nothing fancy, just looking at his skill set as a quarterback, and they're really just taking their time with Bortles, and I like that. I will say the other surprise is the Titans. I've never expected Tennessee's team to an abysmal record. I mean, they're 2-13. And that's another thing that people aren't talking about. You know, everyone's talking about the dysfunction of teams like the Jaguars, and no offense, Eric, they're talking about the, you know, the issues with the front office and the Bears throwing Cutler under the bus, and they're talking about all these things. But because the Titans aren't headline grabbing about their dysfunction, people aren't paying attention. This is dysfunction, people. The Tennessee Titans are dysfunctional at 2-13. And this is just beyond shocking to me, you know, that a team that was once run by the mustache has just totally imploded. They've imploded, and I'm just totally shocked.
And it's been a couple of years in the making. I mean, this obviously this isn't the first year they've been down. I mean, it's something that's been happening for a while. But I mean, and we're also talking to coaches before about coaches being on the hot seat. I mean, you look at Wisenhunt down in Tennessee. The question is, will he be there? And there hasn't been too much talk about him, you know, whether he's, you know, leaving or going. But, I mean, they got to ask themselves, you know, do we want this guy?
Is he the man? Well, and I think because he was able to turn it around so nicely in Arizona, I think that Tennessee expected, you know, he would be able to come in and flip the switch there too. And it has not happened. I think the last other huge surprise for me was the fight between the St. Louis Rams and the Giants. Did you see that one?
Yeah, I saw that. It's getting to be a weekly occurrence.
Okay, so thank you. That is crazy. I mean, this is literally the fourth brawl now. What, the Giants and the Rams. It was the Saints and the Panthers. And what was the other huge brawl?
I forget who it was. I know it was like 3-4 weeks ago, though.
Now, and tell me if I'm wrong, isn't this the second fight for the Rams?
You know what? Actually, it might be. Because it was a couple of weeks ago now, I think about it.
Yeah. I said it was. Yeah, because that's what I'm saying. Yeah, this is the second fight. For the Rams. But this is crazy. This is crazy. And the worst part is the whole thing was captured on film because in the middle of a brawl, you know, one of the cameramen got caught up in the whole thing.
Yeah, so you get like a front row seat for the whole thing. But
absolutely.
I mean, yeah, that was actually started by one of the Rams players too. And plus
yeah, it was started. Yeah, because they hit Beckham.
Chippy. Right.
Yeah,
and,
they hit Beckham.
Jeff Fisher's defenses are known for being kind of chippy, but I think he'll get that. I think he'll get that squared away because I mean he doesn't.
Well, they're gonna have to.
Yeah.
No, we don't want this. We don't want this image. You know, and this is not what the NFL is about. And I think that this is beyond what this league is used to, you know. And I think it's getting out of hand now. I mean, it really and truly is starting to get out of hand. Like even yesterday, earlier this season, you know, there was a fight. I forgot about this one, the fight with the Eagles and the Redskins. That was another big one because Nick Foles was still the quarterback. You remember that?
I don't think I remember that one.
Yep. I know. Earlier this season because I actually – it was back in September. And I do remember that one was actually a nice-sized brawl. It wasn't as bad as the Panthers and the Saints or the Rams and the Giants, but that was a pretty decent-sized brawl too. And then there was, I know, it was Tennessee and the Jets. That's who it was a couple weeks ago. It was the Jets
and
the
Titans.
Yeah. So you had the Eagles and the Rams. You have the Jets and the Titans. You have the Saints and the Panthers. And now today you have the Rams and the Giants. And that's just four too many. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand that, you know, there's some good, you know, testosterone flowing and, you know, and I get all of that. But this is not WWE, you know, and that's not the message you want to send to the young kids who are watching, who are aspiring to play in the NFL. So I think that those are the two biggest surprises for me for this weekend. So that, you know, yeah, I think that's pretty much where I was. So, again, if we were to go back and look at wrapping up, here's where we are, ladies and gentlemen, with our NFL standings for, or our playoff standings, I'm sorry, as they are right now. In the AFC, we've got the Patriots and the Broncos, the Chargers, the Bengals, the Steelers, and the Colts. In the hunt in the AFC for the wild card spots, you still have the Ravens, the Bills, the Texans, and the Chiefs are all still in the hunt. And on the NFC side, the Cardinals, the Lions, the Seahawks, the Cowboys, the Packers, and the Panthers are in the playoffs, and the Falcons are still in the hunt, and it will come down to whoever wins next weekend between the Falcons and the Panthers to determine that last spot in the NFC for the playoffs. So as we're getting ready to wrap up, another awesome edition of the Blitz here on Blog Talk Radio and UltimateSports.com. We also encourage everyone not to forget to check out Gridiron Girl on Twitter and gridirongirl.org. Again, for all your college football insights, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Keshi's Cuties. That's K-E-S-H-I-C-U-T-I-E-S. And you can also follow my fabulous co-host, Erica, and her Twitter handle is PatFangirl12. And Eric, go ahead and tell everybody what's your Twitter handle.
I am at Fit for Life, and that's life is spelled with a Y, so at Fit for Life.
Wonderful. Thanks, Eric. And, again, we tell everyone hurry up and visit the No Joke Football Project shop for great deals, again, on your tees, hoodies, leggings, all types of fabulous items for that special someone for the holiday season, and give her a gift that she will truly, truly enjoy. Go to the shop, tell us what's your favorite gear, leave your Twitter handle. Also, you can vote for your and the best comment. Sorry, we will vote for the best comment, and that individual wins by January 30th. So, again, hurry up and enter for your chance to win free gear. And, again, you can catch me and Keshi Free at Keshi's Cuties on Twitter. Also, you can follow Erica for her rant, and it's called Are You Kidding Me? And you can follow Erica on YouTube for her rant, and they are always funny and very exciting. Again, Erica, we miss you. We hate that you are sick. Get well soon. It's not the same without you. And we are out, ladies and gentlemen. That wraps today's edition of the Gridiron Blitz. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you guys next week. Eric, anything else you want to say?
Later, guys. No, that's it. We're all good.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Good night.